Your kids are beautiful.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man program here on Monday, July 18th of 2022. I am your host tonight, the Miracle Man, coming to you on location, Ortonville, Michigan, tonight. And it is great to be with you. And this week is my birthday, 33 years of my life. I'll be 33 on Wednesday. And you may say, do you feel old yet? No, 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 no. Not me. I sure don't.
No way.
I sure don't. In fact, I would wonder, well, how's 33 supposed to feel? There's all these different people at different ages. Like, my pastor is 70, but he almost he kind of has said it this way before. He's like, well, how's 70 supposed to feel?
Yeah.
So I don't feel old, and so I got my mom here with me, and so I understand that when I was very little, Mom, after I had like different things going on, I had seizures. At a very little age, kidney issues, cancer.
Tell them about when you were born, that you were born deaf.
So I was born completely deaf.
Yeah.
Completely deaf. Could not hear. Jaw or chin was where my ear should have been.
Chin.
My chin was where my right ear should have been.
Right. And no jawbone.
And no jawbone. Right, no jawbone on the right side. I didn't even have one.
So you had your first surgery when you were 7 days old, and that was just so you could suck.
Yes, and then at 10 days old, it was so I could swallow.
Yeah.
Right.
And then you were 3 months old when you had a seizure and you went blind.
As a part of that.
You had a seizure that paralyzed you. Yeah. And then when you were paralyzed in the hospital for 3 days, and then we brought you down to the big university hospital, and they realized at that hospital that your muscle and your nerve for sight on both eyes had been severed through the activity of the seizure. Very strange.
Is that the same thing as amaurosis?
Yes. And then they diagnosed you later in life with Leber congenital amaurosis.
Because that was what ended up taking my
eyesight. Yeah. So then I think that probably the next diagnosis you got rid of is that, you know, they kept trying to get you to sit up and you couldn't hold yourself up. And so they said that they diagnosed you with a muscle deterioration disease.
Right.
And then I remember, though, you know, like having a deaf baby, blind baby with muscle problems. I was single mom, and Rivers, I cried out to God and said, God, I love my son, but I don't know how. I don't even know a blind person. I knew a lot of deaf people, but I really didn't know anyone personally that was blind. And I just kept saying, God, I'm willing if you help me. And it was amazing how God just gave me strength. And you know, Rivers, you've had over 40 surgeries. Several on your face. They reconstructed your face, 17 surgeries in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Yep.
And at 2 years old, though, Rivers, one day I went to change your diaper, and the lining to your colon was in that diaper.
At a McDonald's, at a McDonald's, no less.
I do believe so, yes. So I ran you to the hospital, and you were losing a lot of blood, and so they flew you to another hospital, and then, you know, they told me that you had colon cancer, severe colon cancer. And so
a level that probably kills most people.
Yeah, the next day they had a meeting, and I walked into the meeting, and all of your doctors that were studying you, like I had seen most of those doctors in and out of, you know, they had, they would bring you into a room in Ann Arbor, and then they would have different doctors would come and go from there, and they would observe you and work on, you know, and make prognoses, diagnoses, et cetera. And so a lot of them were in there, and they told me that day, they said, if we just give him one shot, he'll fall asleep, because we do not believe that he will live through colon cancer, and we think he will suffer. They told me that if I didn't sign that paper and let them give you that shot, they said that I would be being very selfish, Rivers. And
So
I got up and I called our pastor. They told me that my mom and dad, they had already talked to them, and they wanted me to give you that shot, Riv, just because they didn't really understand. My mama didn't understand what they were asking her. And so, but when I called Pastor, he said Rivers has the same right to fight for life that everybody else does. And so I went back and I told them that. And then 3 days later, Riv, you were on all these machines and in the hospital, and I saw the spirit of death over you. And I remember going, I don't think that I know God well enough that God would obey, that, you know, any spirit of death would have to obey me. But I said it anyway. I said, spirit of death, you will not take my son. And that spirit just disappeared. And life entered your body, Rivers, and I don't know, less than a week later, you got to leave the hospital, and your colon lining grew back. It was a challenge to find food for you for quite a while, but God was faithful, and I don't know how we did it, Rivers. We just followed Jesus. He held my hand. He held your hand. So many miracles. Just one miracle. God helped us. Just constantly giving us strength, giving us favor, opening doors for us, helping us to find money when we didn't have money. When they said you couldn't go to Tennessee for surgeries, a door would open up and God would move on our behalf. When I didn't have any money, people would give me money to take you to, you know, whatever hospital, whatever doctor's office, whatever we needed. And, I mean, I remember, you know, saying, God, I don't want Rivers to go into the hospital again with pajamas on that were size, you know, were too little for you. And just miraculously, you know, somebody walked up and gave me 7 pair of new pajamas for you. And people, like, you never want to live where people have to bless you, but Rivers, 4 vehicles people gave us, just gave us. When, you know, you, me, and your brother Ray, God is so faithful to us. We're so blessed.
Very.
And then, Rivers, I remember when you could hear. I remember when you got the miracle. 6 years old, and they found your
eardrum. Pestered the nurses.
Yeah. They found your eardrum down in your neck. Your face was so deformed at birth. And they put that eardrum in place, and it worked, and you didn't sleep for 3 days. They had to give you something to make you go to sleep finally. But you listen to the Bible.
I don't know all the details of it, but if I look back on it now, I'd be like, I'm sure I just pestered the nurses, and they were probably, some of them were like, well, it's great, but at the same time, I was like, Annie, go to sleep.
Yeah, Annie, please go to sleep. Yeah, so that I could go to sleep. So, Rivers, and you know, they said you'd never walk, and you walked, and then they said that your muscles wouldn't support you, and I worked on your muscles. We still work on your muscles.
True.
I mean, Rivers, you have to tell your listeners what you do every day. Tell them
I go to the gym, and I do my little thing on the treadmill, and my little thing was...
What do you mean little thing, Rivers? 2.5 miles.
By thing, I mean 2.5 miles. I'm kind of doing like what Dr. Barclay would do, or someone else, by thing, I mean routine.
A routine, yes.
That's what I mean by the little thing. Some weight.
And then you walk 2 miles.
And then
a day.
I like to do that. And
then you go
all
swimming
that.
Every day, almost
every day at least. But you see, listeners, the world said that I would not carry myself past 8.
Yeah.
The world said that I would die at the age of 12.
Yeah.
Double, you lost. you lost a long time ago. So many times he could have thought he had me. Oh,
yeah.
He lost. He's still losing.
Yes. And Rivers, you know, you're 33 years old. Rivers, I want to tell you something. I want every listener to hear me. I believe, Rivers, that your eyes will see, that everything in your body,
yes, they
autism,
will.
Everything that you struggle with, that your body
broken.
Will line up to the mighty word of God, and you will be healed. That alone,
yes.
The world is not familiar with, by the blood of Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus Christ. I thank God that your body lines up to his word, and Rivers, you will live. You will live a long life and a good life. A miraculous life. Rivers, you are a walking testimony of the goodness and the faithfulness of God. But it's not over. Yeah. Rivers, I see in the realm of the spirit that you are healed. I call you healed. I see you healed. Everything that I see, I believe you will see it. You're at my house today, and we can see the lake out all the windows, the big, beautiful, wonderful lake. And Rivers, I believe that you see that lake.
Oh, yes.
You know, mountains you want to see and so many things you want to see. You'll see it all. As soon as you see, I'm going to take you to so many places. It's going to be absolutely tremendous. And praise God.
I always thank God for it in advance, listeners, that even though I'm still believing, faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen.
We see it, yeah. Yeah,
we see, in the spirit, by the Spirit of God, we see it.
Yes.
That's why I see myself seeing. That's why I see myself seeing all these different things. And I see myself driving one of these wonderful SUVs that I wish that these tire extinguishers that are in places like Europe, New York, Los Angeles, I wish they would just go away and leave us alone and let us Americans and, you know, wherever else drive our wonderful, whatever it is we want to drive. I mean, if it's, I mean, I don't even want them to touch the small cars, even though my dream car is an SUV, but nonetheless.
Right. Leave us. I want to say to you and to all your listeners that if they have things that they believe in God for a miracle, we believe in miracles.
Amen.
We believe for their miracles with them.
I believe for your miracles, too, because...
yes, hallelujah.
Because I know something. When this miraculous healing happens in my body, I know, listeners, it's going to be a testimony to so many people.
Hallelujah.
It's not just something I wish for or dream of. I mean, I do dream about it. I have dreamed about it. But nonetheless, I know for a fact that it's going to minister to so many people.
Yes.
It's going to minister to so many people.
Yes. The victory is greater than the battle.
Always, it's always greater than the battle. I don't care. I don't care how big that battle is. I don't care if you got diagnosed with COVID, cancer, and the bubonic plague all in one day. I don't care. The victory is still greater.
If you believe,
that victory is still greater.
Mark 11:24.
Doesn't matter. And this is regardless of how many bad reports you might get in one day. If you believe in the Word of God, the victory is always greater than that battle.
Rick, I'm going to let Brittany know you're ready to go.
Okay.
Will you tell your listeners about when the radio show is
going to
be tomorrow?
Tomorrow and Wednesday, the radio show is going to be at more like 4:30. It's going to be like at 4:30, but about that, it's going to be on a rather limited time schedule because I'll be getting ready to go to Invasion, the Young Adults Conference, which I will be there at night kind of hanging out, seeing what's all going on. I'll be there, you know, hanging out, going to the Spoon, going to the evening service each night, and just enjoying seeing God work in the young people. And I would ask you, please pray for Invasion this week. Pray for these young people. Pray for the youth. Pray for the young adults. Pray for the youth leaders. Pray for the parents. Whether they're parents of youth in my church in Midland or parents of these youth and, you know, from all these other churches. And pray over that conference. And even now, pray for traveling mercies for those people that are en route to the conference. May they show up on time, not delayed by the airlines or by the trains or whatever it is, maybe the youth leader's lost. I don't know. May they be at Invasion on time, ready to receive everything that the Lord has for them. And it's going to be a great week. And I will admit, even though I'm going to be turned 33, I still love to dance and shout and I don't want you to think that I'm just going to, you know, sit there and while they shout, me just kind of. No. But it's going to be a fun week. And God's going to move. Wednesday night, I'm still thinking about whether or not I might do a live one, like right when I get there. I'm still thinking about it. But nonetheless, It's going to be an awesome week. And then on Saturday, my wonderful friend Donut, who has helped me for a while, her wedding is Saturday, and I have the privilege of going to that. So it is a very busy week, but a very exciting week. And you may say, well, Miracle Man, are you stressed about it? No, I'm not stressed about it. I'm not stressed about it. I'm just not. Because I'm excited about it, personally. And you might say, well, won't you be tired? Well, I've been tired before. But but God's always on our side. And I know it's my birthday weekend, and it's just going to be fantastic. And so I don't want to take too much. I'm not going to spend any more time tonight talking about Invasion because I would rather talk about it maybe a little more detail the next two nights and like what did it do for me. But I will say this. In the past, there have been young people. Not just youth leaders. Youth, young adults, groups of them that have came up to me and laid their hands on me, believing God that I would be healed in my body, that my eyesight would be restored. One time it was even on Friday night, the last song of Invasion. And I wasn't faced by it. I still stood there and received. Because usually one might think, well, it's the last song of the night and of the week. Shouldn't you be clapping, shouting, dancing? Well, I was receiving what God had for me. And you know, if you believe in God for a miracle, you got to praise him for it. You got to worship him. You got to be thankful for him. Thankful for it. That's why both praise and worship are important. And so if I do a live show Wednesday, that is at the conference, like at like 5:30 or whatever, or 5 or 5:30 or whatever, what I would do is I would ask young people, maybe a young person and a leader or something like that, we'll see, about what does Invasion mean to you? Because the last thing I'll say about Invasion tonight, usually at one of the big focuses of Invasion is time at the altar. And I tell you, at Invasion, I still to this day enjoy it. You know, yeah, there's all the loud music and the lights and that, but the anointing is there. And of course, as a young person, I always wanted whatever it was that God wanted for me. And to this day, I want whatever God wants for me. And I don't want you to think that I just go there every night so I can eat something at the spoon. If all I cared about was the spoon, even though I go to that church, I could just go up there, get me some of whatever I want, you know, some French fries, maybe some nuggets or nugs, as some young people call them, nugs. Maybe a lemonade, maybe a Coca-Cola to drink, or a Red Bull. I don't drink Red Bull, but you know, whatever your thing is, and some ice cream and what have you, or whatever, just get that food and then leave. I could do that, but I don't. Because I want to see God work on these people's lives. In the evening. And believe it or not, listeners, I have not missed one night of Invasion since back in 01. I have not missed one night of Invasion. Not one night. Isn't that an incredible moment? I missed no nights of Invasion since 2001. None. And I've figured that since between 2003 and 2021, I would say, you know, 19 years times 4. 19 times 4 is 19, 38, 57, 76. 77 days of Invasion in the last 19 years. 77 days of Invasion. Because in the past, I was trying to, you know, figure that out. So over the past 20 years, there'll be almost a summer's worth of Invasion. And I've been at every single night of it. And I haven't missed a night. Now, there was a couple of times that I might have left. Be like, mate, like one year I was there, like when I was, you know, my mom had to go to Myers and get something, and I went with her, and I'll be honest, I didn't want to go. I didn't want to go to Myers. And you're thinking, well, Miracle Man, why? Did you want to go back home? No, I didn't want to leave Invasion. Because it was still going on. Josh was preaching. At the time, I was a teenager. And even though that time, like, I don't know, I forget what he was preaching on, and I might have not even been in paying attention to what he was preaching, but I didn't want to leave. I wonder if what it was I wanted to be there in case they decided to fire up the band and sing another past song or something. Because, of course, I never wanted to miss that because I like me some, you know, good music. All right, enough of that. Now, I want to tell you real quick about two quick things. The first thing I want to tell you, what? are you sick? Where? Just a couple minutes. I'll be getting my phone back. Thank you. So I want to remind you really quick about the book, Rivers of Miracles. It's called Rivers of Miracles. What it is it's the story of my life. All the different miracles Jesus did in my life. My mom was on tonight with good, very good reason. And we discussed part of, what all God has done in my life. And you can go online to riversofmiracles.com. The website is rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, ofmiracles.com to find out information about the book Rivers of Miracles and how it can be a blessing into your life. And it can be a blessing into your life.
Bye.
Bye. Did
you see
my game?
Love you, man. I think you brought it in.
Oh, yes, you did. Hold on. Love you, Mama. Bye, Mama. Bye, Mama. And sorry about the dead air. la 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 la. Jesus loves the children, all the children of the world. In yellow, black, night, and reflects in sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. And they're black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little. All right, enough of that. I didn't want dead air. That's why I did that. They just didn't want dead air. and so what I do, okay, for real now. The next thing I do actually want to tell you about is about the PayPal. And we have a certain listener who lives in Honduras now, sows a seed every month. Thank you so much for that seed, Natalia. I call you, if you're listening right now, I love you. I call you blessed. Thank you so much for believing. Thank you so much for sowing a seed. Thank you so much for doing that. And I know God will bless you incredibly for your seed that you've sown. And I want to thank you, Natalia, for that. I can't believe I just hit you, Brittany. Okay. All right, let's see. But you can go online to paypal.com, and in the search bar, please type in Rivers Shukla. So this Rivers, I know I told you about another Rivers earlier, but this Rivers is spelled different. You can, when you get on PayPal, you'll see that search bar. In the search bar, you type in Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S, and the last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. And the first thing, and what I want to tell you about that is that when you get there, you can choose the amount you want to give. And guess what? I'm not gonna. And if, in case you were wondering, listeners, I'm not gonna tell you how much to give. In order to sow a seed in the Miracle Man program, keep us going. Oh, by the way, listeners, a week from today, 5 years. We will have officially been doing this 5 years. That show is going to be awesome. The five-year anniversary show, I'm working on it right now. I plan to have the Preacher Man on here with us. It's going to be awesome. And, hey, since it's Christmas in July Day unofficially, there might be a Christmas Carol. I'm going to tell you tonight, tomorrow night, or Wednesday night, whether or not there's going to be a Christmas Carol. Why? Because I want you to listen to Monday's show to find out. because, after all, July 25th is Christmas in July. And not everyone does Christmas in July. So it'll be fun. I can promise you that. Or your money back, as they say. I love how, you know, you used to see on these infomercials, you know, you'd see it say, we'll do the or your money back. And so the verse I want to sow into your life tonight is where it says, and it shall be given unto you. Luke 6:38. Given it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with whatsoever measure you give, it shall be given unto you. Amen. I believe that. I stand on the word of God. And I pray over your seed. May the Lord bless their seed as they sow. Their seed. Tonight. And now. Now I want to sing. A couple of songs. I'm going to try to sing tonight. My plan tonight is to do a couple of invasion songs from years past in honor of it being invasion this week. So we will just see here it goes. Here it goes. To the sound of heaven ring, this generation is marching on. Hear the sounds like thunder, heaven's raining. Hear the sound of a holy war. We will not be stopped. Our voice will be heard. Our generation is marching on. Whoa, whoa, this is our war cry. Whoa, whoa, this is our battle cry. Whoa, whoa, this is our war cry. Whoa, whoa, this is our battle cry. Hear the thunder, heaven's ringing. Hear the sound of a holy war. We will not be stopped. Our voice will be heard. This generation hears our song. Whoa, oh, this is our war cry. Whoa, this is our battle cry. Whoa, this is our war cry. Whoa, this is our battle cry. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Praise him. Praise him. Praise his name. Praise his name. In vain. I love him. I love his name. I love his name. Whoa, whoa. This is our war cry. Whoa, whoa. This is our battle cry. Whoa, whoa. This is our war cry. Whoa, whoa. This is our battle cry. Whoa, whoa. This is our war cry. Whoa, whoa. This is our battle cry. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Yes, holiness, holiness is what you are for me. Oh, hallelujah. Righteousness, righteousness is what I long for. Righteousness is what I need. Yeah, yeah. Righteousness, righteousness is what you are for me. Oh, yes, Lord. Take my mind, my life, transform it. Take my life, my mind, transform it. Take my will, conform it to those, oh Lord. Take my mind, transform it. Take my life, transform it. Take my will, conform it. To those, oh Lord. Faithfulness, faithfulness, what I long for. Your faithfulness, what I need. Yes, Lord. Your faithfulness, faithfulness, is what you are for me. Yes, Lord. Your faithfulness, what I long for. Your faithfulness is what I need. Oh, your faithfulness is what you are for me. Yes, Lord, take my life, transform it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will, conform it to those. Oh, Lord, take my life, transform it,
Take my wings, conforming. Take my mind, transforming. To the, oh Lord. Ooh. Holiness, holiness. What I long for, yes, Lord. Holiness is what I need. Your holiness, holiness is what you are for me. I want to talk the way you walk. I want to walk the way you walk. I want to talk the way you talk. For the hand of the Lord is upon me. I want to walk the way you walk. I want to talk the way you talk. For the hand of the Lord is upon me. Where are we at? I want to walk the way you walk. Want to talk. You were where? Want to talk the way you talk. For the hand of the Lord is upon me. I want to walk the way you walk. Want to talk the way you talk. For the hand of the Lord is upon me. I'm gonna preach, pray, and prophesy. I'm gonna preach, pray, and prophesy. For the hand of the Lord is upon me. I'm gonna preach, pray, and prophesy. I'm gonna preach, pray, and prophesy. For the hand of the Lord is upon me. I'm gonna preach, pray, and prophesy. Gonna preach, pray, and prophesy. For the hand of the Lord is upon me. There is a God who loves me. Who wraps me in His arms. There is a God who loves me, He wraps me in His arms. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms, wrap me in your arms, Lord. Wrap me in your arms, wrap me in your arms, wrap me in your arms. There is a God who loves me, who wraps me in His arms. Yes, Jesus, there is a God who loves me, Yes, you love us, Lord. He wrapped me in his arms. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms of love. Wrap me in your arms. 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 Commission my soul with the fire, uncontrollable for this great call to save the lost. Open my eyes to the reason I'm alive. Oh Lord, I'm ready now. I'll follow you. Commission my soul with the fire, uncontrollable for this great call to save the lost. Open my eyes to the reason I'm alive. Oh Lord, I'm ready now. I'll follow you. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, your name is like the grappling iron. Your name will not be overcome. Your name is light, forever lifted high. Your name will not be overcome. Oh, thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Master, for tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for this word tonight that I'm about to give these listeners. Thank you that these listeners have ears ready to hear, their minds are ready to receive. Thank you, Master, that they will just have a heart. They're ready to receive whatever it is that you have for them, Master. And you know what it is that they have need of. When I don't know, you do know. And I thank you for that, Master. And your matchless, mighty name. And now, thank you that you meet every need represented tonight. Every healing in their bodies. Thank you that you're giving hope to them, whatever they need, that you are healing their minds, that you are strengthening them, because you know what they need when I don't. When we don't know what they need, you do. And I thank you, Master, that you are giving them freedom, healing. In your name, we pray. Now I make my confession over this program. I say that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, that increases in listenership come into this program. Most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. Turn with me, please, to the book of Exodus, chapter 8. Praise God, Exodus 8. And we're continuing on our series on Moses. And right now we're dealing with the different plagues that were brought on. And
awesome. Praise God. We already read that one, the flies. Frogs, flies. Chapter 9. I misspoke when I said 8. I'm at 9. So we're going to Exodus 9. I'm going to begin with verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh, say to him, 'This is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews says. Let my people go that they may serve me. If you refuse to let them go and continue to hold them back, the hand of the Lord will bring a terrible plague on your livestock in the field, on your horses and donkeys and camels, and on your cattle and sheep and goats. But the Lord will make a between the livestock of Israel and that of Egypt, so that no animals belonging to the Israelites will die.' And the Lord set a time and said, 'Tomorrow the Lord will do this in the land.' The next day the Lord did it. All the livestock of the Egyptians died, but not one animal belonging to the Israelites died. Pharaoh sent me to investigate and found, but not even one of the animals of the Israelites had died. Yet his heart was unyielding, and he would not let the people go. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'Take handfuls of soot from a furnace.' And Moses toss it into the air in the presence of Pharaoh. It will become fine dust over the whole land of Egypt. And festering boils will break out on men and animals throughout the land. From a furnace stood before Pharaoh, Moses tossed it into the air. Festering boils broke out, men and animals. The magicians could not stand before Moses with the boils that were on them and on all the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. He would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said to Moses. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Get up early in the morning. Confront Pharaoh. Say to him, "This is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says. Let my people go so that they may worship me. This time I will send the full force of my plagues against you and against the officials of my people, so you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. For by now I could have stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with a plague that would have wiped you off the earth. But I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. So set yourself against my people and will not let them go. Therefore, at this time tomorrow, I will send the worst hailstorm that has ever fallen on Egypt from the day it was founded till now. Give an order now to bring your livestock and everything you have in the field to a place of shelter, because the hail will fall
every man and animal.
That has not been brought in and is still out in the field. And they will die. These officials of Pharaoh, who feared the word of the Lord, hurried to bring their slaves and their livestock inside. But those who ignored the word of the Lord, their slaves and livestock in the field. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the sky so that hail will fall all over Egypt, and men and animals, and everything growing in the fields of Egypt. When Moses stretched out his staff toward the sky, the Lord sent thunder and hail, lightning, flashed down to the ground. So the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. Hail fell, and lightning flashed back and forth. That was the worst storm in all the land of Egypt since it had become a nation. Throughout Egypt, hail struck everything in the fields, both men and animals. It beat down everything growing in the fields, stripped every tree. The only place it did not fall, the only place it did not hail, was the land of Goshen, where the Israelites were. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron. This time I have sinned, he said to them. The Lord is in the right, and I and my people are in the wrong. Pray to the Lord, for we have had enough of the mighty thundering and hail. I will let you go. You don't have to stay any longer. Moses replied, when I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands in prayer to the Lord. The thunder will stop, and there will be no more hail. So you may know that the earth is the Lord's. I know that you and your officials still do not fear the Lord God. The flax and barley were destroyed. Since the barley had headed and the flash was in bloom. The wheat and spelt, however, were not destroyed because they rise later. Then Moses left Pharaoh and sent out for the city, and he spread out his hand toward the Lord. The thunder and hail stopped. The rain no longer poured down on the land. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned again. He and the officials hardened their hearts. So Pharaoh's heart was hard, and he would not let the Israelites go, just as the Lord had said through Moses. Let's look at 10 now. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his officials, so that I may perform these miracles, signs of mine among them, so that you may tell your children and your grandchildren how I dealt harshly with the Egyptians and how I performed my signs among them, so that you may know that I am the Lord. Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh, said to him, this is what the Lord, the God, the Hebrew says. How long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go, I will bring locusts into your country
I mean, into your country tomorrow. They will cover the face of the ground so that you cannot be seen. They will devour what little you have left after the hail, including every tree that is growing in your fields. They will fill your houses, those of all of your officials and all the Egyptians, something neither your fathers nor your forefathers have ever seen from the day that they settled in this land until now. Then Moses turned and left Pharaoh. Pharaoh's officials said to him, "How long will this man be a snare to us? Let the people go so that they may worship the Lord, their God. Do you not yet realize that Egypt is ruined?" Then Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh. Or they were brought back to by Pharaoh. "Go worship the Lord, your God," he said. "But just who will be going?" Moses answered, "We will go with our young and old, with our sons and our daughters, flocks and our herds, because we are to celebrate a festival to the Lord." Pharaoh said, "The Lord be with you. If I let you go along with your women and children, clearly you are bent on evil. So have only the men go and worship the Lord, since that is what you have been asking for." Then Moses and Aaron were driven out of Pharaoh's presence. The Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over Egypt again, so that locusts will swarm over the land and devour everything that is growing in the field. Everything left by hand." Moses stretched out his staff throughout Egypt. The Lord made an east wind blow across the land all the day and all that night. By morning, the wind had brought the locusts. They invaded all Egypt and settled down in every area of the country in great numbers. Never before had there been such a plague of locusts, nor will there ever be one like it again. They covered all the ground till it was black. They devoured all that was left after the hail. Everything growing in the fields and the fruit and the trees, nothing green remained on a tree or a plant in all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh quickly summoned Moses and Aaron and said, "I have sinned against the Lord, your God, and against you. Now forgive my sin once more and pray to the Lord, your God, to take this deadly plague away from me." Moses then left Pharaoh, prayed to the Lord, and the Lord changed the wind to a very strong west wind, which caught up the locusts, carried them into the Red Sea. Not a locust was left anywhere in Egypt. The Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart again. He would not let the Israelites go. This will be the last one. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the sky. So the darkness felt. Moses stretched out his hand toward the sky. Total darkness came and covered all Egypt for 3 days. No one could see anyone else or leave the place for 3 days. Yet all the Israelites had light in the places where they were, where they lived. Pharaoh summoned Moses and said, "Go worship the Lord. Even your women and children can go with you. Only leave your flocks and herds behind." But Moses said, "You must allow us to have sacrifices and burnt offerings to present to the Lord, our God. Our livestock, too, must go with us. Not a hoof is to be left behind. We have to use some of them in worshiping the Lord, our God. And until we get there, we will not know what we ought to use to worship the Lord." But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. He was not willing to let them go. Pharaoh said to Moses, "Get out of my sight. Make sure that you do not appear before me again. The day you see my face, you will die." "Just as you say," Moses replied. "I will never appear before you again." So what you see there, all these different plagues, all these different plagues. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. What did you say? God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh continued saying, "I'm not letting him go. I'm not letting him go." Then he said, "Okay, I'll let the men go, but the women need to stay here." Then he said, "Well, I'll let the women go. I'll let your kids go. But you know what? I'm going to keep all the animals." Moses said, "Well, Pharaoh, I can't. We need to take the animals with us. We have to use some of them in order to make sacrifices to the Lord, in order to do the things that God commanded us to do." But then, it wouldn't work. So then Pharaoh was like, "Now you get out of my sight. You see me again, you're going to die." That's what he told him. Pharaoh did not like Moses. Now, that's how it can feel when you're bound by something. You're bound by something and you can't get free. And you just can't let go of it. Because Pharaoh would even change his mind a couple of times. He was like, "Oh yeah, they can go." First he tried putting them on, like a mileage limit type thing. Like, you can only go this far away. Then he said, "Okay, you can, go where you want to go." But he's like, "Only take the men." Then he changed it to, "You can take everyone, but you need to leave the animals." But then Moses is like, "Well, Pharaoh, what are we going to sacrifice with then? How are we going to do a sacrifice?" It's like, "I don't know. Like, I don't know. What am I going to do? Because he honestly didn't know." He honestly just did not know what he was going to do. And so Pharaoh kept having this heart. But the signs the Lord did, because the Lord was doing those signs so that Moses would know and the children of Israel would know that he was the Lord, because there was hail over all of Egypt except for where the Israelites lived. Severe hail, severe rain, severe thunder. We talk about severe thunderstorms here in the U.S. where we live. You know, you can have a severe thunderstorm warning, and they can be issued for high wind, or they can be issued for hail that is like the size of like pennies or nickels or something like that, or bigger. But I imagine these hails were like golf ball size and big. I imagine they were very large hailstones. And after many of the different plagues, Pharaoh would be like, oh, will you please pray to the Lord and ask him to stop this thundering and hail and all these other things, and the locusts and all the, you know, the different things. And that's when Pharaoh would be like, well, yeah, I promise. I'm going to let him go. But then there'd be relief, and then Pharaoh would be like, no, I'm not. Because he would see that there was relief from the different plagues, including the darkness. How did Pharaoh even get over to Moses? Well, that darkness in most all of Egypt, except for where the Israelites were, because wherever the Israelites were, they had light, you know, sunshine and during the day and what have you. But not the Egyptians. They had pure darkness. You could feel the darkness. Now I can tell in my eyes when it's dark outside. I can tell dark from light. But I can still, you know, do okay walking in the darkness. You know, because I'm believing for my sight. But for those who are not believing, for those who have their sight, it would be difficult for them. Does extra bright light scare me, though? No. But I can still tell the difference between light and dark. Like, because I can, like, feel it in my eye. I can tell, like, through my eye. I'm not saying that that's seeing. But, like, I can tell that it is still light outside. Here, driving on Interstate 75 in Michigan, we had just passed through Holly and now going to be getting up to near Grand Blanc, Flint, that portion of the state of Michigan. Heading back to Midland. But so Pharaoh's heart had been hard. But then you still had the magicians and several different ones of these miracles. The magicians would try to do certain things. Sometimes they would fail. Because these magicians couldn't do the same thing. Because the magicians weren't God. Let me tell you something. Those magicians, they were wicked. They were wicked people. Very wicked people. Pharaoh a couple times, a few different times that we run to you. He even admit that he had sinned. He would say, well, I've sinned, but then he would sin again. He didn't love God. He hated God. I don't think he even wanted ever to let Moses go and worship God. I don't think he wanted him to. So Pharaoh was opposition. Whatever opposition you face, you got to fight that. You got to take authority over it. Over whatever it is that's standing in your way of you trying to serve God. You got to take authority over those things. We need to take authority over those things. And we need to say, circumstances, you're not going to get in my way of me serving the Lord Jesus. I'm a Christian, and I'm going to keep serving the Lord, my God. And you just got to keep on keeping on in the fight. Keep on keeping on in the faith. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we would just keep on keeping on with you, that we would win over the opposition, that you would help us to keep fighting, that we would win over the opposition, whatever it is that's trying to sit there and trying to oppose us. Thank you that you've given us the victory over those things. I thank you that you're helping us in this life to deal with those things, trying to slow us down, keep us from moving along in our walk with God. And I give you all the praise and honor and glory for that tonight. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. And until next time, God first, God always. Remember, tomorrow night is going to be, not only is it going to be earlier, but it's going to be abbreviated. God first, God always. See you tomorrow night, 4:30. Amen. So long, everybody.